You're listening to Talking Heads, and on today's programme we're continuing our coverage brought to you by PDMS in the build-up to the general election. And we're joined in the studio this hour by candidate for Castletown, Jason Morehouse. Good afternoon, Jason. Thanks for joining us on Talking Heads today.
Good afternoon.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you're a teacher. I know that you live in Onchan, but you work in Castletown. Tell us the rest.
All right, yeah. I've been teaching Castle Russian for 16 years, focused on economics. I did my first degree in politics, philosophy and economics, and that's really where the interest in politics came from. Really, over the past 4 years or so, as the economy around the world seems to have crumbled and been shaking, I've become increasingly interested with what's going on. And it's, yeah, an opportunity to move forward.
All right. Now, you live in Onchan, but you work in Castletown. You're going to stand in Castletown. Why not Onchan?
It sounds strange, but I actually just sleep in Onchan. I live my life in Castletown. I work in Castletown. I know many people in Castletown. When it comes to Onchan, I'm basically only there because of housing issues in Castletown, that I'm a single person. It got pretty ridiculous paying a rent just to spend a few hours sleeping. So
it's nothing to do with the fact that 16-year-olds are allowed to vote, and you're hoping that you've taught some of these people who might vote for you?
Not really. I think if I'd have wanted the benefit of that, would have been in a neighbouring constituents, so there aren't as many as you would expect.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think about the 16-year-old vote? Do you think it's a good idea?
I do, yeah. It was interesting at the last election how the politicians came into school and the students kind of clicked and were asking questions. And, you know, this year, moving ahead, when a teacher's actually participating in the election, it just gets more involvement because it's kind of so easy to drift away from the political system, so I think it's good.
And give me an idea about the politics, the Manx politics that you teach in schools. I wonder how knowledgeable our young people are about Manx politics.
It tends to be generally, it fits slightly into life skills. It's not really a core element, it's more of the icing on the cake. It's a comparable thing, you know, allowing them to see what there is across here. Having said that, in many schools they do A-level politics, and that involves going out and doing much more research, so at Castle Russian we don't offer that.
I just wonder whether or not we prepare our young people properly for integration into society, and a big part of that is representation, isn't it?
Definitely, and that's where the link with life skills comes in. I think being on a small island and many people knowing each other, there is that natural awareness and that natural want to care for and participate.
Yes. Yeah, you studied economics, whichever way you prefer to pronounce it. Will that be of benefit, do you think, if you're elected?
I think it's going to be a huge benefit. My basic slogan is a strong economy for the benefit of everyone, and that's the core of it. Without a strong economy, we are doomed. There's a lot of people out there kind of raising issues of fear. It's a bit like Ronald Reagan was in the early 80s when he came along and said, there's a bear in the wood.
Yeah,
and people
and the
kind
evil
of,
empire.
That's it. And people are kind of so concerned. And we've got the same thing now with the VAT issue. But if you actually look at the Manx economy and how it's been growing, it's phenomenal. 26 years of continuous growth. And even over the last 4 years, if you actually look at the data, that if you work out the GDP per capita figures, in 2004-2005, it was just over £19,000. 4 years later, in 2008-2009, it was £38,600. So if the economy can actually double in that period of time, then these just hiccups and, you know, but a wake-up call. I think it was time for a wake-up call because there's been huge waste, and that is a key consideration that needs to be considered by whoever gets in.
So a double-edged sword to your comments. In the one breath there, you're saying that the current government's done a pretty good job because it's
definitely
it's made us a strong economy, but also that there's been too much waste in there.
Waste, embarrassing waste, really.
And isn't that natural, though, if there's an awful lot of money sloshing around in the system?
It is, and as an economics teacher, that is the problem. When we get an economic boom, people go out and spend, they get the extra car, the extra house, the extra holiday, then the interest rates go up to slow things down and we get the recessions and the problems. So, yeah, it's part of the human problem.
All right, tell me what you think you can bring to politics in the Isle of Man.
In the first instance, it's a new perspective in that I've been looking at economics for so long, and it's kind of, I've been teaching economics, so I'm able to take that forward as a useful point of view.
Also, but that's all theory, isn't it?
That's
it. If you're teaching it, that's theory.
Definitely. But also the extracurriculum activities I've done, I've spent a lot of time with things like junior achievement and getting involved with young people and, you know, helping them kind of find solutions to problems. I think that's important that, you know, if I were to become an MHK, I'd want to be very visible and very active within the community.
But aren't you doing a better job as a teacher in trying to open the horizons and to show them what the possibilities are? Is that the job for a politician?
I think as a politician in a small community, we've got to kind of make people aware of what we've got. There's that kind of assumption that, you know, we haven't got that much, but it's an amazing place, you know, Castletown, the whole island. We're incredibly lucky to be here.
I agree entirely, and it annoys me when people phone in the programme and say, oh, there's nothing for the kids to do. You know, I mean, I grew up in the urban areas of Manchester, and there truly wasn't an awful lot to do there.
Yeah.
And we made our own fun, but I think that's maybe a case of me being a gnarly old fella these days. So you're saying that you think that there is plenty for kids to do? It's just a matter of channeling them, maybe?
Yeah, I think we're incredibly lucky. I know that 2 years ago, one of the junior achievement groups I was working with came up with the idea of a website to show various activities on the island for each kind of region, and it was amazing what was actually going on. They just, you know, things from football to basket making, it was just tremendous. Yeah. And, you know, perhaps we have a problem that we aren't raising awareness of what is going on. And, you know, if there isn't perhaps a skateboard park, then it's seen as the major issue, whereas all the other things that are good and moving forward are just being kind of going on in the background and should be pushed.
You've only fairly recently declared your nomination. Why is that? Why did you wait so long to do it? Did you wait until Tony Brown decided he wasn't going to do it anymore?
Not really. As I said before, I did my studies linked to politics. It was 2006 when I kind of got reinterested in it. I did the Manx Executive Challenge, and I was at the garage in Ballasella. So I should say garage in Castletown, shouldn't I? And the Chief Minister was there, and I asked him if it would be possible to have an interview about the topic we're looking at.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, of course, just ring up, make time and come in. And I spent a whole afternoon with Mr. Gelling. It was just amazing. Then I spoke to Mr. Bell and I thought, wow, you know, we're on this island and politicians are so open and willing to talk.
And accessible to
us.
That's
it.
Yeah, it is
and
fantastic.
And amazed me, yeah.
It is fantastic. I think there are an awful lot of things about the Isle of Man that we're definitely ahead of the game on, and accessibility to politicians and decision makers, I think, is a big part of that.
Yeah.
I'm talking to all the people who are not sitting members of Keys.
Yeah.
And I just worry that everybody's got this sort of rose-tinted view of, well, I want to get involved in politics and put something back into society. What actually would you put in that differentiates you from anybody else?
I think in the first instance, it's going back to that national politics and that awareness of economics. There is that issue that we need to have the link, and listening to your other programmes, it's one thing we're all pushing, and it will be interesting in 5 years' time to see if that's actually come to fruition. But I think in national government, we need people with national knowledge, people who can actually go out and discuss with neighbouring nations, nations further apart, further away, and actually come up with good solutions.
And you'd be happy to do that? You'd be happy to be sent off to London and to, you know, fight our corner in Whitehall?
Yeah, I'd relish the opportunity to be amazing.
Tell me your views on our relationships with people like the UK and the EU.
In terms of the UK, I think we've had a lot of bad press in the last 2 to 3 years with the reciprocal health agreement, then the VAT issues. It's made us very defensive, and we need to be aware of what's gone on in the past as we move forward. You know, that relationship can't be as strong again. In terms of the European Union, that is an issue. If you look at the number of laws that have kind of drifted through Tynwald in the past 5 years, 80-odd have been created by the MHKs. We've got over 4,500 coming in from elsewhere.
Yeah.
And there's that issue that we're part of the European Union through Protocol 3, but when it comes down to it, you know, are we actually having to bend too much in terms of the benefits we're getting. But I think it'd be exciting to actually look at the other European countries like Norway. I was able to go to Norway early in the month with a junior achievement group who represented the island, and that economy over the last 6 years has just boomed. It's just completely different.
Yeah.
And we have had links with the King of Norway coming to the island in recent years, and that is an economy we should really be linking into.
And you think that they've got a better handle on their relationships with the EU than we have?
Yeah, and I think the next government, whoever's in it, needs to be regaining that leadership role with countries around the world rather than kind of cowering down and having to respond.
Isn't the problem, though, that because of Protocol 3, we're only involved in Europe through the UK as our sponsors, and therefore, if they feel that we ought to do something, then we've just got to do it.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. But it's also kind of extending the range of our possibilities. You know, as I said before, in terms of countries like Norway that aren't in the European Union, perhaps Switzerland, but there's a lot of exciting things out there for us.
What about independence or abrogation?
I think independence is a big issue. When I was at the June Achievement thing and the Manx flag came in, I thought, yeah, that's brilliant. And a lot of people have been thinking that. You know, we've had dark days in the past 3 years and the ties with Britain have been strained. But to actually leave it would need real consideration, especially when we're kind of so dependent on finance that we need that link with Britain to keep the money flowing in. But I do listen to people's views with regard to independence.
OK, and have you been out on the door knocker? Have you been talking to people in the constituency?
Yeah, I've met many interesting people. Yeah, knocked on many doors.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it's been really interesting. And even though it's quite a small constituency, there are a lot of doors. I don't know how I've gone in some of the bigger ones. They must be completely exhausted.
And what are you hearing from people? What are the big concerns?
It tends to be national government. It was quite interesting. I was at a meeting last night and they said the exit poll at the last election was suggesting 65% were interested in local issues.
Yeah.
And the national issue seems to be a key thing. A couple of people yesterday were talking about unemployment-related issues, which again is a concern. And also, we've got issues that are linking into things like age. We've got an ageing population in Castletown. And, you know, we've got a lot of resources in terms of older people, people coming to the island with money, and perhaps we can make use of those groups of people.
Yes. Well, it's not just Castletown. We've got an ageing population full stop.
Yeah,
And what do you think ought to be done about that?
I think in Castletown, we've got huge benefits of an ageing population, but we've also got huge problems. I know at Castle Rush, when I started working there, we'd well over 1,000 students, and we're now down to just over 800. It's a big drop. And we actually look at the neighbouring area, it's easily explained. There are so few families. We've got the same number of people in Castletown as we had in 1984. There's been small pocket developments, but there's been nothing major. And, you know, when you look at areas like Peel and the stuff that's going on there, you think, oh, perhaps something should happen. But I would not want to rush into that because Castletown is special.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
You're listening to Talking Heads, and our election candidate guest today is Jason Morehouse, who's standing for the seat in Castletown in the general election on September the 29th. So, because you're a teacher, so it's inevitable I need to ask you some questions about young people particularly. What do you see as the solution to the NEETS problem, not in education, employment or training?
That is a huge problem. When you actually look at the number of under-18s on the island, we've got this increasing number of people who aren't in work, they aren't in training, and what's going to happen. In terms of July, we'd actually got 46 of them on unemployment benefits and 35 who weren't qualifying for benefits, but it was 81 people. So you're looking at kind of 10% of the number of unemployed.
Crazy.
And these people are going to get locked out of society if they're not careful, and it's an area I really do think needs to be looked at. I know Friends Provident in Castletown have worked with a small group of these young people, and just to get them back into the workplace, get them thinking about the 9-to-5 situation, get them making contacts, it's really crucial.
Do you think that part of the problem is that kids leave school these days and they want to be managing director straight away?
there's nothing wrong with ambition.
No, there's nothing wrong with ambition, but yeah, it's got to be measured, hasn't it?
That's certainly.
When I was kicked out of school at 16, I knew that I was going to have to start at the bottom. I was going to have to work my way up to achieve anything, whereas it strikes me that an awful lot of young people these days, with programmes like X Factor and, you know, Pop Idol and things like that, and The Apprentice, everybody thinks that they can leave school with a couple of GCSEs and suddenly look themselves into a top job.
Definitely, and it's something the press have focused on, but I think we're pretty lucky on the island, and I think this group is not a normal group in the way that they've gone through school, they've got the five GCSEs, they've got the links with business. A large proportion of these young people are actually, for want of a better word, becoming outsiders. They've not fulfilled the whole educational process. They've also not got the links with business. They've perhaps not got the male role models, and something needs to be done. And, you know, something as simple as the government taking on more apprentices, you know, short training schemes. There used to be a winter training scheme in the old days across here. But just getting them, even if it was 3 days a week, back into the workplace, doing something, making contacts.
Well, we talked on this programme, I think only last week, about David Cameron's idea to have some sort of a national service. What do you think about that? Not a military thing.
No, it does scare me in a way, in terms of young people have got all these kind of options, and to give them possibly a forced option would be difficult. I know when I was at university, a lot of people from Spain and surrounding countries that had to do that year in kind of that environment, and it kind of knocks your life in some respects. It might give opportunities, but
when you're
issues.
A teenager, don't you need that? I mean, I got thrown out of school because I wanted to work, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I sat around for a few weeks at home until my mother said, right, you've got a week, either find a job or I'll find one for you. And it was, I mean, it was that sort of severe, you know, and I'll tell you what, I soon found a job. And I just wonder whether or not it's a case of, right, you know, you've got 2 months or whatever of benefits to get yourself sorted out with something, or this is the option.
Yeah, that's exactly where my policy is going. That I would definitely say that these people who aren't in work are losing opportunities for themselves. It's not just a waste for the economy. It's a waste for those people. They're just being locked out. And, you know, if they're out of society for 3 or 4 years, it's not a lot better than being in prison.
But are they locked out of the system, or are they staying out of the system because they're just taking the easy option, which is to sit at home playing on the Xbox and drinking cider?
Definitely in the first instance, they've made a choice, but then previous governments have allowed that choice to continue. And it gets to the point where, what does happen? Do they meet a young lady who says, you know, you need to be going out to work and motivate them? Or do they turn to crime? Does it all go wrong? But yeah, they need to get back into society, get working. You know, as you said before, you know, if they're on the games at night, it's going to shut the working day up.
You're an educator. You know, educate me on this, whether or not it's the stick or the carrot that works best with young people.
I think it's got to be a combination. It depends on the child. It depends on the time of day. It depends on what's going on in the life at that moment in time. It's all different. Every single child I meet is a different person, and it's his different or she's different from yesterday, and they'll be different tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, well, that sounds fair, yeah. So everybody's an individual, and you can't come out with a blanket approach to
this. No, definitely not.
I think that most of us would agree that looking at a crystal ball, the next 5 years are going to be tough ones for the Isle of Man, and we're going to have to embrace change one way or another. How do you see society in the Isle of Man changing over the next 5 years?
On a positive, if the economic growth continues and we can all keep our jobs and all keep positive spending, the building industry should get regenerated. We'll perhaps see some big multinational companies coming back to the island. It could be good.
That's all a dream situation. Yeah. Why would they come back?
Basically because of what we've got to offer in terms of the supportive government, in terms of the tax structure, in terms of our strong links with Europe and Britain.
But we've got those already. You know, what I'm trying to get at is, what would you do to try and improve the situation for the Isle of Man?
Basically, it's prudence, making sure that we're more conservative, we're innovative, we're actually using our resources in a better way, just in terms, in case that bad situation does happen. You know, as you said before, I was looking at it in a very positive manner. You know, at the other extreme, we've got this 189 million that's going to disappear. If the economy slips into negative growth, the whole situation will be considerably different. And that's really the bit that's made me want to step forward and say, you know, I've got an understanding of this situation. I can bring something to the table that's different, something that's new, and hopefully be there to help to support if things do go wrong.
Slightly wishy-washy, but then that's politics. Give me some examples of the difference that you would make.
In terms of the unemployment, I'd want to remove that as a traditional viewpoint. So I wouldn't want people sent home, having no training, having no access to the workplace and getting unemployment benefits.
So you would encourage, maybe even force them back into work?
Yeah.
Okay. So no benefits without work?
No.
Oh, well, that's a fairly forward-thinking way of doing things.
But it would need full support. It wouldn't be that radical situation of just saying, do this, or that you need kind of some support to make sure they're ready for that work. You know, some of these people have been out of work for 5-6 years and they need that support to get back into the workplace.
What do you think is the important job of an MHK? Do you think it's the constituency work, or do you think, would you rather spend the next 5 years, if you're elected, looking at national issues?
Yeah, I think it's actually the bridge between the local people and national government. It's actually having that awareness of what the local people are thinking, but at the same time looking at what the nation needs. In the ideal world, they'll always go along perfectly. As Mr. Rimmington found to his cost, it's not always that nice, and that's the risk with politics.
It is, yeah, and I just worry about wishy-washy politics. I'm just looking at your manifesto now. And
that's just an overview. I haven't got my manifesto
yet. Oh, all right. But you're saying that it's a vote for you is a vote for a strong economy for the benefit of everyone. Well, we've got that already, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's nothing new about that.
No, but if the way things are turning around, we could quite easily end up with a weaker economy. Then in terms of 189 million disappearing, it's a third of the government revenue.
Yes.
You know, it's like you selling a house for £200,000 and then turning up with a cheque and saying, here's your cheque for £140,000. And you're saying, well, there's £60,000 difference. And that's the magnitude of it. You know, things out there could be scary.
My landlord would be absolutely livid if I sold my flat, but there you go. So the difference that you think you can make, apart from being a good bloke and that you've got a background in economics, what other difference do you think that you could make? Because it is going to be tough. You know, no two ways about it. We've got a vast reduction. You're saying a third. I would suggest it's more like 40% reduction in our national income. There are going to have to be some big changes, and they're going to hurt, aren't they?
Definitely. And I think we need someone who's prepared to give their time. You know, if you look at my record in terms of teaching, every lunchtime of the past 2 years, I've been there giving up my time for the junior achievement, for the shares for schools, for the clubs, and I've never taken a free school lunch. Mm. And, you know, politicians have got this issue with expenses. They're in there for the money. It's not an issue at all. You know, when it comes down to me, if I win this election, my job will go.
Yes.
I'm putting a lot on the line because I really believe that I can make a difference and help a lot of people.
But your job's safe if you don't get in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not too bad, I suppose. All right, so, tell us then about what's going to be in your manifesto, if this isn't it.
Right, in terms of the manifesto, the first area of issues is Castletown. In trying to raise the profile of Castletown, we've got an amazing environment, we've got a huge history, and it's just been kind of left. I feel Castletown needs to be pushed forward onto the national stage, and it was actually quite interesting when I looked at the government website at the economics section, and there's the harbouring Castletown. You think, there's recognition, but we need to take it forward in a more dynamic way.
But how can you do that? How can you make Castletown more of a dynamic centre, apart from sort of bollards that go up and down automatically when they
feel
like it?
I hate those bollards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they cost enough, didn't they?
Yeah, and direct parking.
Yeah.
It is a good question that when it comes down to it, Castletown has got issues, but the MHK has got to be there in the first instance to push them forward. But then it's kind of moving ahead into areas like the economy, employment, and those national schemes.
Are you strong enough? Would you be strong enough as a politician to make unpopular decisions? Because somebody's going to have to make them, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, because, I mean, you know, everybody's talking about the fact that maybe the civil service is a little bit too top-heavy, that, you know, the public services generally, we need to have a bit of a root and branch reform of them. Are you for that?
I am for it, but I'm also for it with reservations in terms of, you know, if you look at a private company like Marks and Spencer's, to cut costs, they would instantly remove a middle layer of management.
Yeah.
If we did that on the Isle of Man, it would wreck up the housing market. It would shove up unemployment and we'd end up paying a lot of those people unemployment benefits. So it's got to be done in a manner that's actually not radical, but you're actually working a conservative and innovative way. It's making the best use of your resources.
So maybe a speed camera for £1,000 on Richmond Hill rather than a new road costing £3 million? That kind of thing? Or am I putting words into you?
I don't really like speed cameras. I'd have to use your Castletown Road.
We're out of time, Jason. Tell the people of Castletown why they should vote for you on September 29th.
You've got a really good opportunity to look at someone new, someone with an economic background who's not only wanting to help the Isle of Man, but also to really help Castletown. Castletown's an amazing place, and I'd be really proud to represent you. Thank you.